It's KBIA Thinking Out Loud and the Thinking Out Loud podcast. Dr. Brian Mitchell is with us on the phone now. He is going to be here on campus speaking Friday, October 13th. And the subject of his address is Burying the Sins of Our Collective Past, Why Rewriting and Covering Up Difficult History Doesn't Work. Dr. Mitchell, thank you for taking the time to visit with us today.
Well, I'm pleased to be here. Thank you.
This is a subject that's been on the news an awful lot, mostly talking about race, but not entirely about race, but about difficult things. And how do we talk about them as a society? How do we teach our kids about them? Tell me just, first of all, kind of an overview of what you're planning to talk about with this.
Well, as an overview, I'd like to talk about, first of all, why diverse histories are important, how they help to heal, and how they help us to progress as a society. And from there, I'd like to talk about specific instances where we've sort of hidden or buried our past and the problems that emerge when those sorts of things are done.
I try very hard on this program to not have it be about myself. But I know that one of the things that people have talked about with this is the concern about making kids feel guilty about stuff that they had nothing to do with. And so if you'll bear, if you and listeners will bear with me a moment, let me kind of explain where I am coming from with this conversation. I grew up in a town that was, until just a very few years before I was in high school, was considered what's known as a sundown town. This is a city that advertised publicly no Negroes and was entirely 100% white. My high school segregated in 1974, so I'm kind of familiar with this type of place. I took an advanced placement course in high school in Oklahoma history, and then I took another class in Oklahoma history when I was in college there in Oklahoma. And at no point was I ever aware of what is now known as the Tulsa Race Massacre. We called it the Tulsa Race Riot before that. People just, it wasn't discussed, it wasn't talked about. The only thing I knew about race at my high school was that the first black kid came in 1974, and this being Oklahoma, it should shock nobody to learn that the reason that he broke the color barrier in our high school was that he was a really great football player that would go on to play at OU and then for the Green Bay Packers. And so I kind of have an opinion about this and an experience with this, and they're worried about it's going to hurt kids' feelings or make them feel guilty or upset. At no point in learning all of this some years later did I ever feel guilty. I didn't make any of this stuff happen. But boy, I sure did feel upset that I wasn't taught about it, and I feel personally a responsibility to kind of be a witness about how this happened and to kind of listen to other people's stories and not just blow it all off and say, oh, that's the way it was. When you hear people concerned about this and they say, oh, we don't want to hurt kids' feelings or make them feel guilty, what's your response to that?
Well, I've been a teacher for a couple decades now, and I've been a student, and I go out and I speak at schools all the time, and I have successfully not hurt any students' feelings in regard to having conversation, or I've never had a student tell me you hurt my feelings in regard to having conversations. But what I believe is actually going on, or parents are more disturbed about a truth that they weren't taught and how this truth makes their children feel, whether they'll feel empathetic toward populations or communities or struggles that are going on, or apathetic. And quite honestly, I believe that many people would prefer their children to be apathetic toward other communities. Some people would say, well, we're not apathetic. We actually care about everyone. And I don't necessarily believe that that's true in many regards.
When we talk about our past history, what parts of it do you feel like, I mean, there's obviously a lot, but what specifics can you tell us that you feel like haven't been taught. I mean, I just gave one pretty glaring example of the race massacres that have happened in a lot of places that nobody knew about. But what are some other things that just people aren't talking about that should be talked about?
Perfect example, statehood. The history of Hawaii, the history of Hawaii, and it's being brought into the United States, the state. I was surprised when I began teaching in college and teaching U.S. history, and I get to American imperialism, and I begin teaching about the Kingdom of Hawaii and how it was included, and the arrest of Queen Liliuokalani, and, you know, her really forced surrender of her kingdom to the United States. Most of my students had never heard that. Students said, why don't we hear about, you know, we hardly ever hear about female leaders of that era, and someone of the gravitas and the power and the intelligence of Liliuokalani, why haven't I ever been told about this woman? Reconstruction. You know, most people were taught that Reconstruction, at least if you grew up in my era, that Reconstruction was an absolute failure, and it failed under its own weight. And no one's taught about terrorism that occurred. No one's taught about the violence. No one's taught about the school burnings. So that totally reshapes what happened during Reconstruction when we're given accurate information. Another example, civil rights. And we talk about the Jim Crow era. You might get someone who will talk about voting rights or grandfather clauses. But we don't talk about what sharecropping actually was. We don't talk about convict leasing or laws that were just created to arrest people that will later be, their labor will be extracted from them. So unless you're out there reading these texts, unless you're a scholar of difficult history or U.S. history as a force to race, you probably won't hear any of these issues discussed.
We're talking with Dr. Brian Mitchell. He will be on campus October the 13th, speaking at the A&S building, 6 o'clock, talking about burying the sins of our collective past, why rewriting and covering up difficult history doesn't work. And I guess the next question I would have for you is just to answer the question that this asks, and that is, why doesn't it work? I mean, as in the age of the internet, we eventually find out a lot of things about our personal histories and our country's history. But why does this idea of we'll just not talk about it because it might upset them just fail?
Well, it fails for a number of reasons. First, without a complete understanding of history and how things happen, people grow up with inaccuracies and stereotypes. And one of the things I remember talking about redlining, slum clearance, racialized covenants in a classroom. And up until that point, most students just assumed that cities happen organically. Black people just wanted to live with black people. Right. That's why there are black sections of town. White people only wanted to live with white people. That's why they're. And once they figure out that there are levels of involvement in which the federal government, state and municipal governments played in creating the fabric of cities, the next logical question is, okay, if we've constructed poverty, why haven't we worked to deconstruct the poverty that we created? And then they go home and they ask their parents these questions. Okay, if this is what happened, why didn't we just reverse what we did? Why didn't we make efforts to try to improve the lives of those people that we condemned to certain sections of the city without resources? Mm-hmm. So these are like questions that students come back. And these are things that they talk about over their kitchen table. And one of the things that we do as professors are critically, we want our students to think critically. We want them to ask questions. But these are hard questions for parents sometimes to answer.
One of the, go ahead.
And not wanting to answer those questions, is it's much easier to say, well, I don't want you guys to talk about these things in the classroom because I don't want to answer them. But they don't say, I don't want to answer them. They say, well, these things make my children feel uncomfortable.
Sure. Sure, sure.
But history should always make us feel uncomfortable.
Well, yeah,
we're looking at the past, quite often past mistakes, and we're determining what kind of future we want based on those past mistakes that we've made.
I recall, and I don't remember who wrote it, I think it was Skip Gates, but I'm not 100% sure, but talked about how history these days is taught around this version of Martin Luther King as a moderate, almost Santa Claus-like character that everybody could get along with, that everybody would agree with, and that's very different from the reality of how society at that time dealt with Dr. King and what Dr. King was teaching. And that's just one of many examples that one can think of. George Washington chopped down the cherry tree and never told a lie, and Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, and that's it, go on and go to recess. And when it gets more complicated than that, beads of sweat start forming on some people's foreheads.
Right. Martin Luther King has, in essence, been reduced largely to a soundbite, you know, and they're not even using complete quotes most of the time, just fragments of them, in hopes to bend them into directions which King himself probably wouldn't have gone in. So the question is, you know, who owns history and how much involvement should the layperson outside of the historical community have in determining what should be on the curriculum?
His address is through the Black Studies Department here at the University of Missouri. It is part of a Peace and Security in Africa and the African Diaspora Conference that's going to be happening over several days. You can find out more about it at blackstudies.missouri.edu. And again, Dr. Mitchell will be speaking. It's Friday night, October 13th. So I'm doing math in my head 2 weeks from this coming Friday. And it'll be at the Arts and Sciences Building here on the MU campus. And again, you can sign up or find out more at blackstudies.missouri.edu. And it sounds like it's going to be a lively and interesting conversation and a lot for all of us to learn. Dr. Mitchell, thank you very much for your time, and we look forward to welcoming you to our campus here in a couple of weeks.
Thank you.